Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sometimes you're out on the trail and you just had that lunch, that snack. It tasted so good. But no, now you have junk in your teeth. You don't want to floss. You don't have it in the back pocket. You want something quick and easy. And now there is something quick and easy, guys. It's called Moe's Nose. It is the proboscis of an organic mosquito that you can use for either toothpicks or floss. All natural, all the time. Check it out at malaria.denguefever. Hey, everybody. This is Derek, and with me today is the man that is so interesting that Bigfoot himself asked if he could look for Carl's missing hair. Carl Mandrioli. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
Welcome to the Backpacking and Bushes podcast, everybody. Thank you very much, Derek. With me today is Derek Somerville. He's a man who recently started going to the gym to learn survival skills because he believes in survival of the fittest.
That's good. That was good.
Yeah, thank you. Well, isn't that similar to Moe's nose, the mosquito's nose?
I tried to honor you.
That's a pun right there. And
a cheesy pun.
No, yes. I loved it. I loved it. That was really good, actually.
Pick those up at your Ace Hardware, wherever they are. REI.
That might have been your best intro advertisement ever.
Well, high yeah, in my opinion. High praise from the pun master.
I don't think high I'm praise. A master, but okay. So last week's episode, we ran out of time, man. We didn't have time to talk about the backpacking podcast, the showdown, if you will. I've got a pretty strong reaction to what went down, but I figure I'd let you go first if you have any thoughts.
You're going to let me go first. I mean, listen, I think we all know what happened. We all saw, and we didn't see it, but we heard it. And I don't know if I need to say much. I mean, I think we know what would have happened had Carl been more of a quote unquote team player. And a better listener. And if you had believed in your own partner, I think my favorite part of that whole episode, other than the great banter with those guys, was the fact that I think it was question two, I could be wrong, where you were just like, there's no way, you don't even have an answer for this one. And
that was awesome.
And then I ended up getting the answer right, and you didn't get it right. And so I'm like,
I know.
How much humble pie do you want in an episode? I don't know.
I will take all the humble pie you want to serve up for sure, because you're definitely, you're definitely going in that direction. So let's continue down that road for a moment here.
Okay.
I've recently gone through this episode meticulously in the editing portion of it. And so I want to remind you of what happened. Now, in reminding you, in no way am I trying to deflect where I went wrong, because definitely you did better at trivia, man. There's no way around it. Like you were better that day for sure. So the first question that they asked, you know, I don't think either of us were super confident about our answer. I did say, Derek, you choose. And I think you weren't feeling confident, so you went with my answer. My answer was incorrect. But remember, I didn't force you to do that. The second question I chose, and I chose not to go with your answer. And so there I was wrong, because I went with my own answer and it was incorrect. So we were 0 for 2. Both of them were my answers, but you did choose the first one. You did choose to go with that.
Let's talk about that first one for a minute. Because I think you were very adamant about your answer, and I could have chosen my answer. I could have just been like, you know what? No. We're going to go with my answer. I could have done that, but it was kind of like one of those moments where, like, you know, you're playing like a board game like Candyland with a kid, and they're like, no, I win the game. And you're like, well, actually, you didn't win the game. Like, no, I won the game.
Yeah.
And you're kind of just like, all right, yeah, you won the game. And so it was kind of one of those moments where I was just like, all right, yeah. Okay, we'll go with your answer, even though I know it's wrong.
So let's back it up. You said I was adamant about my answer. No, I was not adamant. I even said, I was like, I don't know if this is right. I was simply more confident in my answer than I was confident in your answer. I just wasn't confident in you. And I went wrong. Like, I was wrong. You were better. Ouch. I'm telling you, you were better for sure.
Ouch. Okay. Well,
so yeah. I would like to apologize to you.
This is public.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
But don't worry, because I have another strong reaction.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Big surprise.
So you're going to go back and listen to this episode, and feel free to, you can react to what I'm about to say later if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But all I got to say is, in regard to your behavior, wow.
Behavior?
Wow.
My behavior?
Yeah. Yeah. So the concept was that we're teammates. We're going up against the Backpacking Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, mm-hmm. we're sharing tips, and you go onto attack mode onto your own teammate. All right? Then I make some errors. Things start to go south with trivia. You went borderline meltdown mode. You just couldn't handle the fact that you were right. I was wrong.
The wheels came off.
The wheels came off. I had to actually edit out part of it. Wasn't a full meltdown. It was like a partial meltdown. And I just thought to myself, okay, if you were just listening to the episode and not trying to figure out who won or who lost, but who you'd want to be teammates with, why would you want to be teammates with Derek is the question.
Yeah, good question. Good question.
Okay, go ahead.
You want my reaction to that?
Yes.
I think it's like we're a product of our environment, right? So when you're always on these episodes where could I have reacted better? 100%.
Whoa, you're gonna take ownership too. No way.
Oh, I should have taken a higher road. I have a better standard for ethics for myself. And I let myself down, really.
Wow.
But I think it was like I reverted back to like one of our own episodes, you know, where you've been graded and mocked for your answers for so long. It's like when you hear some of the answers you were giving, I was like, it was like my instinctual, you know, response, which I should have, you know, kind of tamed a little bit because we had, you know, other people on the podcast. So, you know, I could have done better. Yeah, I could have done better.
Wow. Okay. I was not expecting you to say that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Interesting.
Shocking. Shocking.
So kind of history between Derek and I is we've played a lot of games together, board games, whatever, and we, over the years, have been very competitive. So I would say, though, in the last 10 years or so, I've dialed down my competitive nature. I don't think you have. I think,
really?
I mean, your competitive nature has, if anything, has stayed the same, if not ramped up. Would you agree with that?
I don't know if I'd agree with that. It's just funny what we see through our own lens. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know if I'd agree fully with that. I think you're kind of just like, whatever. You probably just don't care as much. Like you don't really even play games on the trips anymore.
Yeah, I like the conversation. Either way, I think we need to have another showdown. We asked everybody out there to sort of grade who won, but I think the Backpacking Podcast won. I don't think we won.
It's kind of like they got the win. They earned the win fair and square, but I think in my mind there was like a little asterisk, you know? Cuz I'm like, you know, had my teammate and I come together, we could have won. We would have won.
They only got one more point than
That's
we did.
That's all we
in the
needed.
End.
That's but, all we needed though.
Yeah. All right. I got one word for you, and that is rematch.
Oh.
We're going to do a rematch at some point. We're going to have him back on. I'll do a better job with setting up trivia criteria. Mm-hmm. Like we're throwing out multiple choice questions at them, and they're throwing out like what they called softballs with East Coast bias questions. That was not very nice.
And let's remember, like, we still almost beat them on fill
in
the blanks.
We did, and they asked a question and they didn't even know the right answer with the John Muir Trail thing. Remember that?
Oh, see, that should be minus a point though.
I know.
We should have pushed that.
Yeah. That being said, like, we're the host, so we should have set up the criteria better. So I'll be on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks. Right. Thanks for breaking that down with me. We got Bible verse for this one. This is not even about that. This is about the survival episode. Would you survive this? We got insane stories of human perseverance. I'm excited to see what you came up with. Bible verse is Matthew 6:21. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. So I've got some of my stories involved kind of going a long time without eating. So what's the longest you've gone without eating?
Longest I've gone without eating. I want to say.
Yeah.
Probably close to 40 something hours, 40 hours.
40 hours. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Gotcha. That's
30 wow. Between like 38 and 42, probably somewhere okay. In that realm.
That's more than I've gone. I think I'm like 24 hours ish and I've done that. I don't know how many times.
Is that like you forgot food and you said to tough it out or what?
It was a fasting thing, but yeah, oh. I like eating. So I wouldn't do that like intentionally. But the reason why I asked you is like, I can't, you know, I'm kind of sifting through these stories and one story of survival I came across. I didn't understand. It was some guy that got stuck in his car in a snowstorm and he got kind of snowed in and then he just stayed in his car for 2 months.
2 months and, straight.
Yeah. So the snow proved to insulate him enough where he didn't, you know, die of hypothermia. He was able to melt some of the snow to drink water. And I just thought, you know, there's times we want to stay put and there's times we don't want to like get out of the car and like go find help, right?
I mean, where are you going to the bathroom? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, probably in the car.
He's number two and in one and in the car.
Well, he's not going number two because he's not eating, right?
That's tough.
Yeah. Anyways, that wasn't very interesting to me. I was like, that person just stayed there like until spring? I mean, what's the scenario there? So anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. You want to go first? Yeah. What's your first?
Why don't you go first today? I got a good last one. Why don't you go first?
All right. Yeah. First one is Angela Hernandez. Mm. This is back 2018, so relatively recently. She was driving on Pacific Coast Highway in California near Big Sur. Have you been there before?
Mm-hmm. I have this year.
Okay. Yeah. So for those that haven't been there, Pacific Coast Highway goes up and down the coast, obviously, but there's spots that are very cliffy. And near Big Sur, which is a state park in California, great place to hike and backpack. It is just, yeah, it's just like sheer cliffs on either side. It's not...
Right.
Yeah, a lot of the beaches aren't accessible, basically. Okay? Right.
Yeah.
So she's driving, and some sort of animal is crossing the road right in front of her. She freaks out, and she swerves, and she flies off the cliff.
Mm.
Okay?
Wow.
Question.
Yeah.
If an animal is on a windy road and it jumps out in front of you, are you swerving, or are you just kind of riding over it?
On a windy road.
Yeah, like mountain road, whatever.
Ooh, that's a tricky one. I think your instinct is to swerve, unless you're a sociopath, right? So I think that if you, I don't know, like, I mean, there's been a couple times on like a normal straight road where like something just darts out and you don't even have time to react. So
right,
I think it depends on like how far ahead of it is you. Like, oh, it jumped out. It's a coyote. It's a moose or something. Then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
moose can
would.
Kill you. So at that point, it would be wise to swerve. But yeah, I think the small animals, the rodents and that kind of thing, I'm just going for it. I don't want to risk my life. But if it's bigger, like you're saying, like a coyote or larger,
right.
If I can, I might come to a screeching halt. But yeah, I might swerve too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Honk the horn, things like that.
Yeah. So she wakes up. Okay. She's kind of flown off the cliff. She wakes up. She's had a brain hemorrhage, fractured ribs, a broken collarbone, ruptured blood vessels in both eyes, a collapsed lung, but she doesn't die. Okay. When she comes to, water's lapping over her knees and she's inside her vehicle, obviously. In the water. She breaks her window with a multi-tool she has access to. She crawls out the window and she swims to the beach.
What?
Which isn't too far away. Yeah. She's not. It's not, I don't know. Obviously her car didn't sink to the bottom, so it's in the shallow end of the ocean. She passes out on the beach, okay?
Yeah.
When she comes to again, she's got no shoes, she's banged up, but she begins walking to shore. She's kind of like, you know, in the very shallow, I'm walking to shore for help. She apparently at some point she grabbed a hose from her car, so like from, the engine area.
She grabbed a hose from her car underwater.
Yeah, or partially submerged. This part's unclear.
Wow.
So that way she could collect dripping water from moss along the shore so she could stay hydrated. She ends up walking for days, okay?
What?
She can see cars up on the cliff, but they're just driving by. It's not accessing the shore. So she actually tries yelling at them, but you can't like flag down a car from 100 yards away. And so she couldn't see them. They couldn't hear her screams, and so she just keeps walking.
Hmm.
What is your solution? What would you do in this scenario here?
If I'm her? Is it, first of all, is this like Captain Marvel? I mean, like, is this possible? Like, she's launched off a cliff with all these injuries.
I don't, it doesn't say how far down off the cliff she launched. Obviously, significantly, but not so much where she's dead.
So her eyeballs are hanging out and it's just disgusting. She grabs a hose.
I did not say her eyeballs were hanging.
Every bone's broken, basically. I'm imagining the adrenaline's got to be just like at an all-time high. Just survival adrenaline, right?
Right.
I mean, that clip, that whole coast is just intense. Some of that's just intense. Like, you're not going to come up. So, what would I do in that situation? I think I would just... I don't know if I'm going to be able to climb that cliff. There's no way. Right. So I guess you just have to wait till so there are parts where it like mellows out. So I guess you just have to like either remember what you just drove through. Is it horribly and horribly high? Or is it going to mellow out if I went back? Do I remember? Or would I try to press on and hope that it mellows out ahead of me? I think
I don't know if I'd remember, because if you're driving, you're just kind of like soaking it in, kind of zoning out, listening to music, whatever. You're not really like meticulously watching.
The spots on that road are like that are low. There's some high points that are awesome, you want to stop, but there's a lot of low points you're like, I gotta stop my car, I just gotta stop. So there are a lot of places like that. So I just depends what you are remembering in the moment. I mean, if you're just bashing your head and like have a brain, what was it, brain hemorrhage, and she's just cruising for 2 days, is this a real story? That's impressive.
Well, I'm just wondering what you're still breaking it down.
I think I think the main decision is like, assuming I get out of my car and I'm doing all this, like, I think I would just have to decide like, what is the best direction to go? Like, what I know back there, or do I press forward?
Okay. So trying to clarify what you're doing, you're going to be walking. Like, because one of the options is obviously to stay put, right?
So many people drive by that road and was the car half in, half out, you said?
Unclear.
Oh, see, okay. I mean, if the car's like half out of the water,
you're not driving out of the situation, you're not going to drive back up the cliff.
I just think there's, if you're in like one of those like in between the little towns spots, I think I'm walking.
Okay.
If you know you're near a town, maybe you stay put, but it's like, it's going to be tough to stay put.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because you don't know. You just don't know how long you're going to be waiting there. Because there's so many cars that drive by those high cliffs and they're not even looking them.
Right. No.
You know, by the beach. Well,
or the angle you can't see, or it's so distant. Even if somebody was down there, you wouldn't know they were in trouble necessarily.
I think if I'm looking up and I see just like the tops of cars and like, you know, I'm going to walk because I know they can't see me.
Okay. All right. But, so I agree. I would, if there's an opportunity for me to walk out or for me to move, I'm taking that. Like sitting there and putting rocks on the shore to spell out SOS, and especially in a place where nobody knows you've gone missing. Nobody knows where this, you know, that a car flew off the cliff. Nobody saw that happen. Right. There's, you know, nobody, like, she could be anywhere. And so, so I would walk out as well. So she does that, and eventually some hikers find her days later. And even though hikers have gotten down there, they still have to call search and rescue and, like, helicopter her out. But she survives. That's amazing to me that she was able to car crash into the ocean and then swim/hike out for days. So Angela, well done. Wow.
Jeez, that's impressive. That is impressive. Okay, mine is from Australia.
All right.
We're going to talk about a gentleman named Ricky McGee.
Okay.
This is a 2006. Mm-hmm. He's out and about. He's workers at a, well, maybe I'll wait for that part. But McGee was out and his car apparently breaks down on his cross country drive. Now, I don't know if you're familiar. You were in, we've both been to Australia. And you
were you about to say, I don't know if you're familiar with Australia?
I thought about it. And I was like, you know what? You live there. So I was like, you know, on the East Coast, you obviously have a majority of the cities like Adelaide, you know, Melbourne, Sydney, all that. And then there's just a whole lot of nothing. And then you got like Perth on the other side or whatever. So he's going cross country. The last thing he remembered, all of a sudden let's start the story like where he just wakes up, he gains consciousness from somewhere.
Okay.
In the middle of this place, right?
So he's gonna drive and then he wakes up. All right, I like your storytelling. Keep going.
mockery. This is why you get mocked during trivia. McGee said, so all of a sudden he's like, the last thing I remember was my car broke down during the cross country trip. And that he thinks he's like, I think I was the victim of a violent attack and he was possibly drugged. Mm. And then all of a sudden he wakes up in the middle of the desert, essentially.
No car around or anything.
No car around. So he's out there in the middle of nowhere between like Perth and the East Coast, and there's nothing in the Australian outback really except just crazy wild animals. So what is your next step at this point if you're this guy?
Like next physical step? Oh my gosh.
Like what are you going to do?
Other than the injuries that Angela had in my story, this is a way worse scenario because if he's not on a road and you're in the middle of the desert, I mean, you're talking like 1,000 miles every direction potentially. And
you don't know where to go.
Yeah, you wouldn't know where to go. And I suppose you would know generally if you were closer to the west than the east and you just kind of follow the sun that direction, but that's not going to necessarily lead you to a road or to water. Mm. And if nobody knows that you're out there or where you are, staying put is not a solution. So, yeah, I think you're stuck. I think you scan the horizon to look for anything, any type of vantage point, landmark, or anything, and head in that direction. If there's nothing clear, if it just looks kind of flat all the way around, I think you get down on your knees and you pray, that you're going in the right direction. That's all I got.
Okay. Okay. So what this guy did for over 2 months, he was out there for 70 days. For over 2 months, he survived. He started eating frogs, snakes, lizards, and like the water. He found like a little dam. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I stayed at this dam for like 4 days. Mm-hmm. And I drank the water out of this dam. He ended up losing half of his body weight.
Right.
When he was eventually found, when a bunch of workers in a cattle station just happened to come across the remote area by the dam,
and they
picked him up and they took him away.
Well, obviously, if you find a water source, I would just follow the water source. Eventually, that's going to lead to something.
Well, it wasn't like
groundwater.
It was like a wasn't. Well, I saw they have it. There's a video of it too online. You can look them up. But it wasn't like it was kind of like more groundwater. It wasn't like this big moving rushing dam, obviously, which would have been a lot easier. But
yeah,
70 days, dude.
So what day would you have given up?
Oh gosh. I think it's like, where's your mind at, right? Like can you give yourself like a little goal per day? You know, like I'm going to find water.
Right.
I'm going to find food. I don't know. I think
that's his goal, right? He's finding the frogs,
find the frogs, snakes, find shelter. It's like find the essentials. And then I got to say I don't know when he found the dam. Maybe it was toward the end or whatever, but sounds like it was toward the end, but I mean, I would have been stoked. Like, oh wow, this is like a, you know, this is something that like people have made. Like, I don't know, like people have been here kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. You look for footprints or animal prints or whatever to see if there's some sort of anything that's been there. And if so, then you just stay put. That's what I would do.
Right.
So interesting.
But I think if you wake up and you've been drugged, like, do you know which direction you came from? I mean, if you don't know how to like find which direction, you know, using the sun and all that junk, then could you find one of those like dirt? There's a lot of like, not a lot, but there's a couple dirt roads out there in the middle of nowhere. Like if you find one of these dirt roads by chance, are you just going to stay on this road?
Yeah,
of course. Are you going to veer from it to look for water and shelter and all that stuff? Or just hope that somebody comes by?
Did you say you didn't know how to figure out which direction is which? So like the sun rising, the sun setting.
Yeah, like because he's saying he was drugged, right? He's like disoriented.
Yeah, at first, and then hopefully he'd come out of that, but.
Hopefully.
Interesting.
If you can figure out which direction you're going, I think that's huge too.
Yeah. But yeah, well done for survival for sure. So
huge. Way to go,
there
Ricky.
There you go.
Way to go, Ricky.
That's not a survival scenario I would want. But honestly, once you're rescued at that point, your thought should probably go to revenge
mode,
actually. Like, we're just telling the police and trying to figure out so that it doesn't happen to somebody else. So
track those guys down.
The middle of the Central Australia, I would guess that's you're not really at risk for crime there in terms of, like, you know, there's not a high population, so
I know.
Jeez. I don't know what's going on there, but
sketchy. Okay. What do you got?
My next one, yeah, this one is Julianne Kepka,
something
like that.
I feel like I've heard Kepka. This name before. Yeah.
And so she was on a flight on Christmas Eve of 1971. So this is back when you were, what, like 40, 45 years old. So her plane was struck by lightning, and it began to disintegrate in midair. And she's strapped into her seat 2 miles above the Peruvian rainforest. She's about to crash, all right? So Eventually, she goes down in the midst of the forest. She's battered. She's bruised. Her collarbone's broken, but she's alive, and she's the only survivor of the flight. It's unclear how big the flight was. Doesn't matter. She's the only survivor. And so she's now in a Peruvian forest wilderness alone. The only food she's able to dig up is some candy, and she has found a small stream.
Huge.
Okay?
Huge.
So huge, right.
Huge.
What do you do?
Well, I think you're in Peru. Yeah. Okay, first of all, I want to know, I don't know if this is like a balderdash answer, whether this is a lie, but there's, you know, like most planes on the nose of the plane, I don't know if you knew this, have a section that's supposed to absorb lightning hits. Like planes are constantly hit by lightning.
Since when?
So they're, since always. Not every time you fly, but like they're able to absorb some lightning on the nose of the plane if you get hit. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, this is back in 1971, so I don't know. Do they have that?
Right. So maybe this is like a, I don't know, but that's a good point. Maybe it was like a smaller plane. Probably. Was it like a big plane or small plane?
I think it was a lightning absorbing plane.
Brother. You know what? Look it up. Google it. Okay. I think what you need to do is clearly you're in Peru. So clearly you want to hike to Machu Picchu. And then obviously camp there, wait for the tourists in the morning and then take the bus down. I mean, it's really it's like a black and white answer. I don't know what the problem is.
That's exactly what she did. How did you do that?
She joined a tour.
She's like, I'm with you guys, right?
Oh my gosh. Peru is, I mean, there's a lot of, I've been there. It's like, it's just, it's a very high elevation. I had to like, lay down and sleep when I got there. I don't know if she's from there, but like there's some adjustment period there. I'll say that. And you're like 13,000, 14,000 feet.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, can I descend anywhere? Can I follow like the stream down? Can I follow where the water is going? I mean, I think that would probably lean toward that because you have a water source.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So you have solved the problem of where do you go or what do you do next? Sort of. Okay. Let me kind of add the twists and turns to the situation. Ooh. So when she's gathering herself, the insects in the jungle are basically eating her alive. She doesn't have any, you know, like bug DEET spray, or anything.
Right.
Yeah. And so she hit, you know, she's battered, she's bruised, she had some cuts.
Yeah.
And maggots had gotten in her infected arm.
Oh.
And so she's dealing with some first aid issues.
Yeah.
As she's deciding where to go.
Mm.
So do you deal with the first aid or you just kind of make a run for it?
Make a run for it. Did she have the tools to or the equipment to do the first aid, or does she need to like go chop down like
basic stuff,
like an aloe tree and like wrap banana leaves around her arm with, you know, some vines or something?
You might have had a better solution than her. They didn't have a lot of survival shows out at that time, so no,
clearly not.
Yeah. So here's what she ended up pouring some of the gasoline from the plane on her arm to get rid of the maggot infestation. Oh,
that's not a bad idea actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah. So, but yeah, she basically did what you described as following the stream. And hours later, she found like this abandoned encampment and she just kind of hung out there, found more first aid supplies. And eventually some lumber workers found her and took her to a more inhabited area where she was airlifted to a hospital. Jeez. But she had to survive the Peruvian jungle with a maggot infestation after a plane crash and she survived. I say, Julianne, well done.
Wow. Good for her. Good for you, Julianne. Only a few hours though. You said only a few hours. Well, this next one.
Yeah, it wasn't days. It wasn't days like the ones we described already.
This next one is pretty intense. So there is, I actually know two people who are going to be doing this race next year. It's considered the most difficult race in the world. It's called the Marathon de Sable.
Is it the 5K?
It's the Turkey Trot. Dana Point Turkey Trot 5K. No, it's called the Marathon de Sables. And it's...
Yes, in the Sahara Desert, Morocco, correct?
Yeah, it's 6 days.
Yes.
Right? And it's basically like a marathon a day in the sand. You carry your own supplies. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous, right?
Yeah, they got a guy who's on like a horse or some sort of animal.
Camel.
He's bringing up the rear end. Yeah.
The camels.
And then
the camels pass you.
Well, there's a guy at the rear end who's like, if he passes you, basically you're like eliminated.
Correct.
From the race.
Yeah. So the camels pass you, you're out of the race. So the guy's name is, he's an Italian runner. His name's Mauro Prosperi. And so he's out there. He's in the race. He's crushing the race. He was in fourth place of this race, which is like insane because usually like 1,000 people begin and sometimes maybe like 30 or 40 people only finish this race. So he's like, this is amazing. I'm falling in love with this desert landscape. He's thriving. He's just really enjoying the experience, right? Well, all of a sudden, his luck changes when he finds himself in the middle of an 8-hour sandstorm that leaves him disoriented, lost, and alone in the middle.
But we already know what to do in that situation. We talked about this with the Bear Grylls episode.
Oh.
You have to disembowel a camel and just hide.
That's it. That's the answer. That's what he did. No, that's not what he did.
Okay.
What he was... I'll kind of stop it there. My question to you is, you're at this point, sandstorm over, 8 hours. I don't know what you do for those 8 hours, except just what, like hunker down and have some water and a snack and a power bar and a camel in camel cavities or whatever. what do you do? Now he gets out and he's like, I don't even know where I am anymore. I don't even know what's going on because the sand is blowing all over the place. What do I do?
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, I think there's like 10 races out there that would be offended by the fact that this is called the world's toughest race. And I know it's called that, but there's so many other races that are way more difficult. I can name a few off the top of my head. So I guess I'm a little offended, I'll be honest. But
two people died last year. I don't know if that's a big deal, but maybe.
Well, okay, fair enough. I do remember there was a guy that ran this race. He got sponsored by some sort of shoe company. Yeah. And they sent him a free pair of shoes.
Oh, it was too small.
Yeah, I told you that story already. Yeah, they're too small. And so like after day one, I've never seen that gross of a foot.
Yeah, that's blisters. Disgusting.
But I didn't know people died. Okay, so maybe this is legit.
Yeah, people die like regularly in this race.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a marathon a day in the desert, dude, with gear.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that. In terms of mileage, in terms of like skill level and difficulty, there's way harder races. And I know some races where people have died, but if people are dying regularly, then this probably takes the cake for sure. So, honestly, I don't know what to do to sandstorm, man. I think if you're towards the front of the pack, there's not a lot of people typically up by you. It's not like, you know, the middle of pack of race where you can kind of band together with other people. So if you're alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to hunker down behind a sand dune or something. And I don't know. I am at a loss. I don't know.
I wonder, I guess my first question was like, he's fourth place. Like, were there people around him? Like, how far apart were they? Because they could be pretty far apart, but
they can be for sure.
Would you try to hunker down with? Yeah, would you try to hunker down with somebody near you and be like, let's just hunker down? I don't know. Obviously, that didn't happen. So, what happened was with just a few.
Well, here's what I would do.
Okay,
is if you were near somebody, like let's say we're racing and we're close together. So I would just hunker down. You
would be behind. You'd probably be behind me though, right?
I would put you in the direction of the sandstorm, and I would take cover.
Behind me or what?
You're just taking the brunt force of the sandstorm, however that looks like.
Oh, it's totally fine. I could do that.
Okay.
So what happened was he just had because you have to carry your own gear. So he had just a few MREs, like little food on hand. Mm-hmm. And after trying to catch the attention of two passing planes, which did not work, he then had to survive for 10 days. We just talked about this. We just talked about what he's about to do. 10 days by drinking his own, wait for it, distilled urine.
Distilled. That's the key.
And then he actually found like a little, I think it was a mosque or something in the middle of the desert, like a little mini building. So he hunkered down in there and ended up eating the bats in there. For days.
That's disgusting.
That's disgusting, right? Like
I don't know why that sounds. I mean, it's an animal. That just sounds. Yeah, if you're not cooking it.
I know. And there's probably guano all over that thing. Anyway, so he does that. And what ends up happening is they end up finding him. You can watch this video on YouTube. You look up his name, Mauro Prosperi. And what happens is that he ends up getting found by somebody. And he ends up getting back home or whatever. And he's like, it took me over 2 years to recover from like what happened physically.
Oh yeah.
And mentally, you know, probably mentally too, I would imagine. But he's like, I feel reborn. I feel like a different person now.
Oh my gosh. So
he made
trying to think of like, you know, there's all these like really tough endurance races, the Leadville 100. They talk about like commit not to quit. It's very encouraging. But at this race, I wonder if they just say, just so you know, like a couple of you are probably going to die. Like, how do you, you know, what's
probably
the
there is a, it's on Netflix. It's called, The Human Playground on Netflix. Episode one, first 20 minutes. There is, they do have an announcement, like the first or second night. They're like, you know, unfortunately, such and such person died. The, you know, the medics couldn't revive him, and they ended up dying.
Right.
And then the lady they're following has one leg, and she ends up, like, you know, you'll see her story if you watch it, but it's insane. So yeah,
there's, okay. I'll look it up.
Check it out.
Yeah, I got a bonus one, by the way.
Oh, a bonus.
So this one, yeah, this one is a quick one because this is not something that we would, I don't know, we can't put ourselves in this situation or likely we wouldn't, but this is from 1911. A guy named Bobby Leach got inside a metal tube and floated down the Niagara to fall into the watery depths below. Mm-hmm. So did you come across this one or no?
Bobby Leach, 1911?
Yeah.
Metal tube. No, I missed this
one. No, he was the second person to survive going over Niagara Falls.
Didn't the original guy do it in the barrel? Was that the barrel?
Probably, yeah. Okay. I mean, his was like a metal tube, metal barrel, whatever. But here's what's crazy about this story is, so he survives Niagara Falls, and then years later, so 15 years later, 1926, he slips on an orange peel, breaks
this.
His leg, it becomes gangrenous, which led to his ultimate death. Like, so the orange peel got him, not Niagara Falls.
I have heard this story. What I don't understand, though, in this story, like, how does your broken leg get gangrenous? Is it just like medical aid?
It must
have been
a pretty bad break where it's, going through the skin. I don't want to get too graphic here. So,
I mean, geez.
Yeah, you're asking for it. You're trying to suck me in. It's not going to work, Derek. Not going to work.
You know what? It's 1911. A lot of things are a little bit more basic back then, you know? Maybe they went with the old tourniquet and it didn't work out. I don't know.
That's true. All right, so those are our stories. Would you survive those? Putting yourselves in those situations, you know, I feel like I didn't do very well with Derek's stories. I feel like I might have struggled randomly walking around in the desert. Would you have survived any of those? What do you think? Now, Derek, it's time for Survivor Trivia.
Woo!
Coming up.
Do it.
Right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right. So there was a suggestion after the Bear Grylls episode, like for a trivia punishment, that you got to drink your own pee.
Yeah. I mean, distilled.
Distilled? Yeah. Actually, MountainMan47 from Instagram said, if you drink your own pee, it's okay if you add chia seeds to it.
Oh, that's true. That's true, Mountain Man. That is true.
Yeah. So speaking of Instagram, like when people are commenting on stuff on Instagram, they have these, you know, fun names, but I don't know who it is because I can't tell with some of their names. So
like what their names are?
Who's Mountain Man 47? Like what's that person's real name?
I thought that was Knowlton.
Oh, could be. I don't know.
Oh, no. He's Mountain Gandalf.
Okay.
On Carcassonne.
Anyway. Yeah. So, okay. So I got Survivor Trivia. All right. Here we go. So far this season, I have lost one. You've lost one. We are tied. The TV show Survivor coined the phrase, "The tribe has
spoken."
Spoken. Correct.
Spoken.
One for one.
All right. Like that show? I never watched that show.
I didn't watch that show. I don't like it. I just think it's like been culturally relevant.
The tribe has spoken.
Yeah, it's a very deceptive show. I don't think I'd ever go on that show.
No, you wouldn't do good.
I just want to be friends with people. Be like, wait, why are you deceiving me? I thought we were friends.
Would you be better on Naked and Afraid or Alone?
Was my question. I wouldn't go on Naked and Afraid because that's not appropriate. And Alone, I would last. I could probably last like a couple days in Alone, and then I'd get too lonely.
A couple days.
Well, hey, there's some people that only lasted like an hour, so that's better than some of the folks.
Why would you even go on this show if you're gonna last? I don't get it.
I don't know.
An hour?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, yeah. Maybe we'll have another alone person on this season and ask about that. Say, yeah. Anyway.
Let's get one of the hour losers on there and talk to them.
All right, we have one question for you, sir. One question.
All right, go ahead.
An hour? Really? Yeah. That's it.
Like,
that's
really? Let's talk about why you even applied for the show.
Right. But in early on, they didn't have as many contestants, but still they had to have quite a few, right?
Like at least 6 hours. Like that's a vacation. 6 to 8 hours, right? Let's relax for a little bit. Get some sun.
Just chill out. Don't work with the bears. Okay.
Have a power bar. Okay. Go ahead.
They don't have power bars.
Whatever.
Go harvest a power bar or all the ingredients. All right. Number two.
Yeah.
What is the most famous song by the band Survivor?
Oh, jeez.
I told you Survivor trivia.
The most famous song?
Yeah, it is, and this is like the clear and obvious winner.
Oh gosh.
Well, do you know other songs by the band Survivor? They're really known. They've got a couple songs they're famous for, but there's one that gets played a million times more than the rest of them.
I mean, I guess it would be. Oh gosh. I guess Eye of the Tiger?
Please? Eye of the Tiger. That is correct. Wow. Okay. Wow. Why is that so hard? Why are we struggling with that?
Well, I was thinking of a couple other ones like High on You or.
No.
I can't hold back.
Dan. Yep. That's probably going on
probably,
top.
Yeah. Probably.
All right. You passed the trivia. Number three, who was the star of the movie Lone Survivor?
Oh, that's Mark Wahlberg.
Okay. Three for three. You are Mark a Survivor Wahlberg. Expert, my friend. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Is that what he's like in Iraq and he gets trapped alone?
He gets trapped alone. He like has a camera and he has to survive.
He's the survivor.
TV show alone.
He survived.
It's a war story, so it's not that.
It is. It was
maybe
good.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I can't say.
I think it was based on a true story.
It was. Yeah, because when I was looking this up, just to confirm that I knew who the star was, it was like all the things that were inaccurate about the movie. So.
Well, good. That was adequate. Proud of you for coming up with some good questions.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do we have any of our favorite tidbits today?
Yes. Yes, we do. We do. I got a couple here. So we, over 2022, we haven't had many Patreon supporters join our family. And on the same day, we had two, which has never happened before. And so I'm so thankful for Matthew and James. So thank you so much for joining. So Matthew, I've heard back from already. He is from Indiana. He's been backpacking kind of all over the place, like, you know, the Red River Gorge, my homeland of Colorado, Oregon, and he's completed the Knobstone Trail in Indiana. So he's done quite a bit. And so, Matthew, thank you for joining the family. We appreciate it. I haven't heard back from James as of the time of this recording, but I'll update that here in a little bit. But, yeah, super excited to have some more Patreon supporters for all the stuff we've got going on with bonus episodes and trips and such. So there's that.
Yeah.
The feedback is rolling in on the Grand Tetons episode, my friend.
Is it?
Yeah. What's your prediction on that? You know, like I asked specifically for lots of feedback, so it's a different type of episode.
Like positive or negative or what?
Well, yeah, what you got? People like it. They have some suggestions.
I think there's a little bit of both. I think it's going to be a healthy mix. I think they'll have some input because we have smart, wise listeners. You know, they know what they're doing. And hopefully they enjoy the humor. But I think there might be one who's going to be a little snarky. A little, if you know what I mean.
There's one. There was one. I'll tell you who it was in a second. But overwhelmingly, it was positive. People had like minor suggestions, like, you know, how did you feel during the situations? What were you seeing? Be more detailed. And I thought, you know what? This was not planned out. This was kind of on the fly. And so for minor suggestions like that, those are things we could easily fix for the next time. I think that was good. We had one comment from Chris who said something effective, like he appreciated that I was asking questions to folks that other people want to know the answer to, but are maybe too uncomfortable to ask.
Right.
And it was kind of funny because the day that he made that comment, I was with my wife at the grocery store and we were in line next to a guy and I was about to ask him a really weird question and she stopped me. She said, no.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
It's like you need that little person next to you at all times to monitor what you're going to say, right?
I don't think so. I think I was okay to ask the question, and I think that's just who I am, man. I'm curious, and I want to know some stuff. So
I mean, I can't disagree with you. I mean, you ask questions. I think this is why we resonate with each other so well. You'll ask weird questions, and I like to put people in interesting scenarios and ask weird questions myself. So
would you say you're curious
about
in general?
For sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because I just told you that I was wanting to ask a guy a weird question, and you weren't curious like what that question would have been.
Well, are you going to tell me?
Only if you're curious.
Would you tell me? I mean, I'm curious if you tell me more, because I know you like to keep things.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you because it's a weird, truly weird question.
Okay, go.
Here's the question.
Where's the bathroom?
It's a weird question. How do you have ageless kids?
Ageless.
That was my question.
If I'm him, I think...
I wouldn't start with that, just to clarify. Here's a scenario. He used to be our neighbor. He lived one street over. Okay. He lived right on the turn coming into our street. He was outside his house in his front yard all the time with his kids. Yeah. We move into this house 16 years ago. Yeah. He's got a 7-year-old. He's got a 5-year-old. He's a 2-year-old. He's playing with his kids. He's an awesome dad. Right. I've met him a couple times. Right. Super nice guy.
Right.
As the years goes on, he's playing with his kids. His 7-year-old, his 5-year-old, his 2-year-old, doing little kickball games outside. Yeah. 5 years later, 10 years later, he's got his 7-year-old, his 5-year-old, his 2-year-old. Uh-huh. Like 15 years in, I'm like, Jessica, wife, how does this kid still have these young kids? These kids have not aged a single year in over a decade. What in the world is going on here? And so that's why I was going to ask him that.
And did he answer? What did he say? Oh, she stopped you.
No, she stopped me. I was going to ask him legitimately.
That would have been great. Yeah. That would have been great.
Well, do you have a theory? Like, how does that happen?
Oh, yeah. They have elven blood, obviously.
Okay.
You know, they're
okay.
Just
there you go. Like legitimately, I've observed him because he's always outside playing with his kids, and I'm like, those kids are not aging. It's now been over a decade. They should be adults by now.
Maybe they have like a growth deficiency order or something. Maybe they'll just stay the same.
I don't know. Yeah.
Concerning.
Anyway, the only person that had negative feedback about our show, he said that he liked it, but he was wondering if most of everybody else would like it. He's like, I don't think you should do this again, basically.
Yeah.
And so this is, of course, Villain Jesse.
Villain Jesse.
Yeah.
You know what, Jesse?
Yeah.
You got to get outside the box sometimes. You got to swing and miss, but at least you're swinging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd rather swing and miss than not stay in the batter.
Okay.
You know, you can stay in the dugout. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
You know.
That's right. Okay. So we'll ask him about that. He's coming on our show because his videos are coming out.
Nice.
So we're going to have him on. I think it's next week. So we'll ask
him. Oh, it's going down. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to ask him. We're just going to tell him that he was the only negative person.
Oh, basically. Let's do it. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
That's it.
That's all I got, my friend.
B&B family, thanks for checking us out. And go check out the Patreon. All of our social handles, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.
And subscribe.
And subscribe to these stinking things. Just hit it. Just do it. And we will quit bugging you. If everybody in the world just did it, we wouldn't even have to say anymore. So let's just get going. 7 billion That's awesome. Subscriptions. Here we go. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, guys, if you're out in the sandstorm with Carl, he's going to go behind you. So make sure you duck and lay down. Let all that sand just blow him right in the face. He will fall down like a little whispering willow in the wind. I want to fly. We've been to the desert before, Carl and I, and I got him to drink the distilled pea. It wasn't a big deal. He enjoyed it. Let's be honest. He ate a couple of crickets. He ate a couple of bats. It wasn't a big deal. But then he got so desperate one time, cause you know, that's just how he gets. And he tried to eat sand. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? You can't eat sand. It's made of rocks. And he's like, no, Derek, it's made of dirt. And I said, you think about what you're saying, number one. And 4 days later, when he couldn't poop, he was just constipated, and he didn't poop for 2 weeks. So who was right there?